Welcome to Manage Tools. This week, Rules for Directors, Chapter 1, Earning Trust. The questions this cast answers are, how can I build trust with managers who work for me? What's my responsibility for open door meetings? What is my responsibility to my skips as a director?
Folks, we've just launched MT Disc, which is our Blue Ocean Strategy product to help you become more effective working with other people. I will tell you that 30 plus years ago, when I learned DISC for the first time, I was blown away. And in fact, what we believe DISC offers, which no one else ever talks about, and that is insight to help you change how you behave with other people out of respect for them, is the single most important thing, tactic, technique I ever learned in my professional career. I was stunned by how quickly I was able to improve relationships, which then immediately led to improvement in results. For those of you who don't know, I'm an engineer. I've led troops in the Army and was very much a high D, very forceful, very no-nonsense. And then when I became knowledgeable about DISC and then became a salesperson, DISC was the thing that made me a successful salesperson. I discovered that more people liked me and less people disliked me because I was making small changes in how I communicated with other people. It was astounding to me. And those of you who know people well and have known it all your life probably laugh, but there's a healthy portion of us in the world that need help, and I'm one of them. So I encourage you, come to the website. It's only $30. Our previous vendor would have us charge you over 80, but we want you to be able to afford MT Disc. And if you're a manager, we want you to be able to allow your team to take it too, so you can all get to know each other better.
So Kate, today we have an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? It was called Rules for Directors, Chapter mm-hmm. 1?
Earning
what
Trust.
What that means, exactly. What that means, folks, is this is an executive tools podcast because it's for directors. So, you know, in terms of content topics like this, we intend in future to put these executive topics in the executive tools feed. We wanted to release this one though, so that you can know the kinds of topics that exist there for licensees and those of you who are directors. We'd love to have you as a licensee, and if you want access to this type of content in the future, please become one. So, our content for today. New directors tend to continue managing everyone in their organization the way they managed individual contributor directs when they were only a manager, right? That's the evolution of our careers. We move up in the organization.
Sure.
And it almost feels like, I mean, managers in our conferences often almost even say to us, how often should I do my skip level one-on-ones? Thinking somehow as a director, now they have to do one-on-ones with not only the people that work for them, but the people that work for them, etc.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's normal. I mean, this is a common thing, but it's a mistake because directors aren't managing everyone. They're only managing managers, and we have to let our managers manage, which means having their backs when they make decisions on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. It makes total sense that someone would do it that way, that what you've done before it's worked. And so obviously, because you've achieved director level and you think to yourself, oh, I'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
And we've got some guidance around more effective things to do rather than what you've done in the past. So many things recently have reminded me of that book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And that's the theme here, y'all. Today, we're going to cover, have an open door policy. Tell your managers you have an open door. Tell your managers to tell their directs you have an open door. Don't take open door emails. Support your managers by following open door rules. Side with your managers when in doubt. So that's our list of topics. First, because we've said have an open door policy, let's define what an open door policy is. This is something I find people grossly misunderstand. Okay. Open door policy. Here's what it absolutely is not.
The best way to define it is to determine what it isn't.
And that is, it's not telling your people that your door is always open. You can do that, but that's not a policy and it's not an organizational system. An open door policy is a very specific thing, not just anyone saying their door is always open, because usually, honestly, it isn't.
Yes.
So exactly. Let's go back. We've put this guidance out previously in 2007, actually. Mm-hmm. Timeless, not timely. Manager Tools Cast. Our definition in practice is that your organization knows that at any time they can come to you to professionally discuss anything about the company and its operations with special attention to management practices, and you knowing that you have a professional obligation to honor that request.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, what that means is your managers or your skips can make an open door request of you, and you'll honor their request. Typically, the time frame for honoring that request is 24 hours. There's more to it, as we'll discuss, but this is the crux of the matter. That is, you'll make yourself available upon request in a timely fashion. Not somebody can just barge into your office and demand your time at the moment, right? On their will, we will make time for them at our request. And of course, in a work-from-home world, an open-door meeting would actually be conducted over Zoom, which
sure
will take a little bit more administration to get set up. So,
yeah, Zoom, Skype, Teams, whatever.
Yeah, good. Exactly.
All right. You have an open-door policy. Then you have to tell people you have an open-door policy. Again, let's go back to our 2007 guidance. It's important to note that our model suggests you do not have an open door policy if you believe that you do, but nobody else knows it, or if you don't behave that way, which is you get requests that you don't honor.
Right.
That's why the definition here says the organization has to know. They have to know. You actually have to publish this or communicate it, which is fine. If you don't, and you think that you have an open door policy and you haven't told anybody, you really don't actually have a policy. People need to know. That's what turns your intentions into a policy.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people I talk to, I think, feel like they have an open door policy. But to Kate's point, if you've never told anybody, it's not really an open door policy. It's a thing inside your head.
What people feel is having an open door policy is people can come to my office anytime and interrupt whatever I'm doing, and I have to stop right. What I'm doing and pay attention to them. And in fact, that's not what an open door policy is. It's not necessarily, hey, I need to speak with you right now and you have to honor all those requests. Most things that people come to your office with, I find are not urgent.
Right.
And you're not required to immediately honor that. You could be in a very important meeting. You could be,
yes.
There's all kinds of things you could be doing that would preclude you from meeting right this minute with someone.
Exactly.
So I think people have taken the words open door policy and in their mind said, oh, that means I have to always be available at all times mm-hmm. to people who come to my office. That's not the case. And we're going to change that definition for you as well if you're going to put this in your mind. And this will change the definition for the people who work with you as well. So
mm-hmm. it's absolutely not just,
we have to change our mindset. We have to change their mindset. And the easiest way to communicate that you have a policy is to send a mail, which your managers can then forward along to their teams. Mm-hmm. If you're smart, you'll share with them our guidance that managers are communicated through and not to, right? The information doesn't stop at the manager. It's managers' jobs to communicate down to their directs. So they shouldn't just forward it willy-nilly. It shouldn't be like, oh, I just forwarded that. Didn't need to read it. Didn't need to put a preface on it or say anything else about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
We would recommend that your managers say something about your email to their people. You can use this process to teach your managers that they're supposed to interpret your words and your processes and add value to those emails from above rather than just throwing them down the chain.
Exactly. Just passing things blindly off to others.
Yeah. And we have an email for you, right?
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. I'm going to take a second here. I'll read it. Mm-hmm. We'd recommend that you edit the following content as you see fit for your organization. I mean, I would say it's written in manager tools words. You're going to want to make it sound more like you, not just stolen from someone else that is completely not yourself. Note, if you are a licensee, you have got the show notes, and therefore, you can copy-paste this. However, for those of you that are not licensees, you cannot see the show notes. I'm going to read it for you. Mm-hmm. It could sound like this. I have an open door policy. What that means is my door is always open for any professional or personal issue affecting work life here at Acme for everyone who cares to see me. If you want to talk to me, no matter what your level at Acme, I want to take the time to hear your concerns or suggestions. As a member of this company, I am part of what makes it work. And if something is in the way of that, I want to hear about it. If you communicate that problem you're facing and it involves immediate or imminent harm to the company or you or a coworker, I'll make time for you immediately. If your concern is important but not urgent, I will schedule a time that day with you. This policy does not take the place of our management structure. It is always preferable that you take your concerns to your manager and then his or her manager and so on. If you come directly to me, I may not hear your concern, especially if you've not informed your boss. The exception to this is if you believe you'll be put at risk by talking to your boss about your concern and disagreement is not at risk. I will also refer you back to your boss for resolution in some situations. If you ever need to, simply contact me or my admin by email or phone and tell us that you have an open door issue. We'll make sure my meeting with you takes priority. So that's how it could sound. Again, those of you that aren't licensees are going to have to play that back incredibly slowly and try and type it all down. But just a simple mail letting them know, hey, the door's open. I will make time for you potentially in the next 24 hours. I do recommend you use our normal standard operating procedure. Run to your manager, run to them. Note, disagreement, the fact that my boss said something I don't like, is not a reason to invoke said policy, and I may refer you back to them. These kinds of things help folks understand, put into practice officially, that policy.
And what we've done is dictate to you, share with you the email that you send to your directs. Mm-hmm. Remember, though, that if you're a director, your scope is bigger than that. So you also have to tell your managers to tell their directs that you have an open door, which they can absolutely do by forwarding along your email, although we have some recommendations about them not just straight forwarding. So you have to tell your managers that you have an open door policy, and then you have to ensure that they tell their directs about the policy.
Right.
Because it's your directs, your skips, that need to know most of all.
And right. When it's we for say, them.
When we say skips, y'all, like imagine top of the organization's A, mid-level's B, third level is C. The C level is skip level to the A, so the director, yes. Right? If you can get this, the communication, right, when you're a first level director, you can simply repeat it every step up your career ladder. So if your organization is not A through C, it's A through G, then there you go. Just propagate those pieces of guidance. Oh, of course, if you change companies or organizations, you have to do this all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we do want to ensure you receive, though, as the director, the communication that this waterfall, I'm going to say, has taken place. The easiest way to do it is to have each of your manager directs, the folks that work directly for you, blind copy you, BCC, on their emails to their directs. Mm-hmm. It saves them time having to report it to you in some other way, shooting you another note, sending it to them, and then forwarding it to you. If they choose not to do it this way, that's fine. You're just going to have to take the extra step then in your next manager tools one-on-one with your directs by asking them, have you communicated my open door policy to everyone in your organization? Mm-hmm. Make sure that communication happens. Again, it's not a policy unless it's communicated.
Yeah. So email in this case cuts a lot of the steps of you communicating verbally and then them. Maybe it's you're just going to make it more streamlined on yourself. And some of you are thinking, okay, good. Email is very streamlined. Love that. Why should I only send it to my directs? Why shouldn't I send it to all the peeps? And y'all, it's because that undercuts your managers.
Yeah.
They really should get the chance to read and add their own comments. Sure, it's possible that they'll undercut you by kind of like downplaying or poo-pooing the idea privately to their directs. But that's a different problem than you undercutting them. Our behavior should ensure that we are doing what's professional and appropriate. It doesn't always ensure that others will do what's appropriate. This is the second. I have been talking since, what, 7 a.m. my time?
Yeah.
Obviously, I've run out of words and I'm like a record player.
that's awesome.
Yeah. One other thing, though. How can you further check that this has been done, that it's been properly communicated? And what you do then is you ask your skips about it in your next skip level meeting, which is a previous podcast as well.
It is. Skip level meetings.
I don't think it's as old as 2007, though. Skip level meetings, though, is another cast about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recommend one-on-ones with your skips. So if you are wondering, then how do I interact with them? How do I meet with them? What's the mechanism? The mechanism is the skip level meeting. That's the answer there. And that's the cast for that. Speaking of email.
Yeah, I know, right? Email, to Kate's point, is really convenient. It helps streamline a lot of the communication about the communication of your open door policy. However, in results of that, we would not recommend you take open door emails.
Right? Yeah.
That is, an open door policy is not an invitation for your skips to send you unsolicited emails every time they disagree with their boss or have some other problem. In our experience, it's these sorts of emails that happen all of the time. And the skip who sends it, they're taking advantage of your open door policy.
Yeah, that's what they say too. Like, oh, you have an open door policy.
Like, yeah, I thought this would be like something that would fall underneath that.
No.
They're not taking advantage of your open door policy. They're taking advantage of the ubiquity of email to do an end run around their boss.
Which is just, I would say, professionally immature, but what I really want to say is childish, cowardly, and just nasty.
Right. I mean, the way I think about it is, if this isn't something that's important to them enough that they're willing to schedule a meeting with you, it's not important enough to you. It's so simple to send somebody an email. I mean, we all know about, not that this is anonymous, the anonymity of the internet. We can all really easily throw some words down in an email and send it off.
Mm-hmm.
But if that person isn't willing to have a meeting about it, I'd suggest it's not important enough to invoke your time and your effort. They have to be that invested in this to want to talk to you face to face.
Right. It's the difference between like whining and venting, which,
yeah,
you know, 100%. There's stuff happens at work all the time that I feel, oh, meh. You know, I want to whine or vent about it. Mm-hmm. Rarely do that because if it gets the job done, I'm not overly worried about how it got done sometimes. However, I would never complain about a person in an email to another person.
Right.
Oof, that makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
it's going to happen
again,
though, folks.
Oh, it's going to happen. Absolutely. And therefore, we want to make sure you have guidance to deal with it when it does.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to take a couple minutes here, a couple seconds, I should say, read a script to you of an email, which you could send back in reply if you think that what you've just received is an open door email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we'd have you do is reply politely. Thanks for your mail. My open door policy is for meeting with me, not for sending an email. Please do this the right way, out of respect for the policy and your boss. Meet with your boss, don't send an email. And if you then want to talk to me, let your boss know that you're going to come to me with an open door request. That's important. And I guarantee you, I will make the time for it.
It kind of ups the ante, right? It's like, not only do you have to schedule time with me, you have to tell your boss you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something worthy of an open door policy, as if someone were taking money or hurting someone, then you would do that because you'd have the force of conviction. You'd know you're right. And so you would do that. You would say to your boss, I think this is happening. Your boss says, eh. You say, huh, I'm going up above you and I'm doing it and here's what I'm doing. And you would have the force of your convictions, your ideas. You'd say, this is the right thing to do.
Right.
I would almost argue that just this, the couching it this way, will help your directs mm-hmm. and their skips to understand that this is not for trivial matters.
Right. This is not for trivial things. We disagree about how and on what date I'm supposed to hand in my expense report.
Yeah.
Like it's not for, it's not a thing.
Absolutely. And okay, of course, you may be listening to this and you're thinking, okay, how am I supposed to build trust with the managers who work for me if what I'm also doing is telling their people they can come see me whenever they want? Won't that undermine trust? Completely understand your rationale there. Believe it or not, it won't, as long as you follow some simple rules that we've kind of alluded to and not fully fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
Open door requests almost always require that your skip has talked to their boss first. Open door policies do not mean that just anyone can come to you with anything skipping over their chain of command. That would be unfair to your managers as well as inefficient to allow anyone to say anything to anyone about anything. Ugh. That is not the purpose of an open door policy.
Right.
Open door policies are almost never about secrecy or skipping the chain of command. They're about providing additional, not special, pathways for communication to occur. It's odd that open door policies never been given an acronym.
Oh, that's a good point.
You never hear it as
ODP.
ODP. You never hear that.
You never hear that. No. And another fun fact is you note in what Kate just said, we say almost always, that is, the exception to it is when one of your skips believes that talking to their boss, your direct, which is also their manager, will somehow put them at risk.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest misconception about open door policies is that it's a special channel to protect your skips from their bosses, who might then take retribution and prohibit them from coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's false. The open door policy generally requires your skip to talk to their boss. And then, and only then, once that conversation has occurred, come to you. It gives everyone a chance to move up the chain of command, but not skip the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps everyone feel that, if necessary, they can escalate a problem. And their boss cannot stop them from doing that.
Again, it has to be something worthy of this escalation. And therefore, our hope is that people will execute appropriately, that they won't simply just push stuff up. It's exceedingly rare that retribution or risk is a problem for your skips.
Mm-hmm.
If they do think that that exists, they can always go to HR, which would be another way to circumvent everything, right? And yes, they can come directly to you. And in our experience, the vast majority of times that skips think that, they're wrong.
Right.
When that happens, if it happens, send them back to talk to their boss. Tell them they've overestimated the situation.
Yeah.
You don't agree that it's worthy of this level of escalation and that they should go back and speak with their boss. And if they're not, I'm just really imagining them coming to you and saying, I've got this thing. And of course, it's about their boss in this case, which we believe open door policy is more about things like someone being harmed or money being stolen, embezzlement or something like that, right? It's for bigger things.
Right.
If they come to you and say something like, oh, my boss, it's just tattling.
Right.
Because what the person is then sort of trying to avoid is talking to the person whom they are mad at or who they deemed not behaving appropriately. So they don't want to tell their boss, oh, you were mean to me. So they're coming to the director.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to think of it this way because that's not the purpose of an open door policy, right? Open door policies are professional. They're necessary. They're conscientious. And every other thing that we're talking about is so childish. And I just can't, it's just professionally immature, which is such a nice way to say it because that's not what I'm thinking.
Yeah. To your point earlier, Kate, the chances that it's going to be about embezzlement or physical harm, the chance that that will be the case is so low as to not worry about it. It's almost like me with feedback. This is the analogy I'm going to use. When I talk about giving negative feedback in a third-party fashion to an individual, and the respondent, the manager in this case, will say to us in training, well, what if they just got in a car accident on their way to work? Okay, yes, and if folks are getting in car accidents in your organization so often that the individual manager needs to prepare for that, you all need to bring in a driver trainer. That's what you need, because there's a car accident problem here.
Yeah.
It's that. It's okay, but preparing for the near impossible is not something we need to worry about as managers.
That would be so exhausting to have to worry about.
Exactly.
But also, if they're in a car accident and you didn't hear about it, maybe you have a communication problem.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's
right?
if it's your skip or someone below them, maybe it's not weird that you didn't hear about it. In most offices, though, if someone was in a car accident in the morning, that spreads like wildfire. That has made it from the front door to the water cooler and back 3 times in 45 minutes. Don't even try and tell me that you don't know that your direct was in a car accident that morning, because that's all anybody's talking about.
It's all anybody's talking about.
Somebody once hit like a crane, a bird.
Like a crane. Oh, a bird. Like sorry. Okay. I was thinking like the other crane. Yeah.
I know. Like a bird on the way to work when I was working in Phoenix. The story was everywhere in 5 minutes. I mean, it was pretty funny. So that's why. And the whole office knew essentially immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Folks, it's getting to the point where it's time to start looking at your fall calendar. I don't know about you, but I already have stuff on my calendar through the end of the year. And I know many of you are very, very busy, particularly if you're a director or above. You might want to start looking at your calendar October 26th and 27th in Chicago, our annual M conference. We already have all the speakers lined up. The sooner you sign up for the 2 days, which is our most important, most biggest conference every year, the sooner you sign up, the sooner you get invited to our speaker series, the next of which is this coming Thursday, and absolutely outstanding sessions on Zoom, an hour to an hour and a half, robust discussion and dialogue. And the other thing it gets you involved in is our executive communication group, where people who have been to the M conference and come to the speaker series talks are connecting with each other. And it's pretty powerful stuff. It will improve the nature, depth, and breadth of your executive or just managerial and professional relationships.
All right. So all that said, chances are, again, it's not pivotal or important, or it's not something that's causing physical harm to another person, which means then that we'd recommend you side with your managers when in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, that statement, side with your managers when in doubt, is really the core of this guidance. In the vast majority of open door requests, your default decision is to support your managers if your skip is bringing a point of disagreement to you. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that, period. Allow your skips to make the case. I mean, you have an open door policy. They came in, they told you their story, but do not think of yourself as a judge, an adjudicator, trying to decide who is right by taking in all of the information from manager to direct, unless the situation is quite unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about that. Side with your manager. Do not make the mistaken assumption that open door situations always require you to do an investigation about who shot John and try and get to the root of this problem. Open door moments almost never require investigation.
All you have to do to figure out this approach is to run the horseman middleman test.
Yeah.
What would you want if your direct skipped you and went to your boss? Wouldn't you want the benefit of the doubt?
Right.
Wouldn't you want your boss to support you initially? Wouldn't you want your boss to assume you did the right thing rather than just accepting your direct's version of events? Of course you would.
Of course you would.
And that's what we're going to do. The fact is, most directs don't understand how your perspective is different than theirs. It's hard to see from their seat the view from yours. They don't know of the many different factors you have to balance with your decisions, including factors they've never even been made aware of. You have to honor the perspective of your managers more than you do of your skips, because you can't be everywhere all the time second-guessing your managers. And to be fair, as your people move up, their perspective, the manager's perspective, is closer to yours than the skips. It's not the same, because you can see the playing field from a higher level. However, if you had to compare your view to the views of your team and those people who work for them, it's your manager's view who's the most like yours as well.
Absolutely. I'd almost say at this point, Kate, trust yourself in terms of having a relationship with your managers whereby you've instilled in them the right way of thinking and the right way of making decisions and doing things good enough. And trust yourself and your ability to communicate to your directs that they then can leave those situations with you and do the same for their directs. They're the people with whom you're doing one-on-ones and building a relationship. Trust that relationship.
We hope that you are doing one-on-ones.
Yeah, if you're not,
then you this get doesn't with it. If you're not doing one-on-ones, this cast is going to be really hard to implement for you.
Absolutely. Start there, yeah. For sure. Because folks, if you think your approach as a director is to play judge between the accuser, skip, and the defendant manager, you're going to destroy the trust, even if you ultimately side with that manager. Right? You're building trust with that person. Keep investing in that relationship. It's not your job to play judge. It's your job to listen to your skip and at best take their input under advisement. What that means is, in most cases, the default approach will likely have you responding to your skip's concern by saying, "Thanks so much for bringing this to me. Under the circumstances, I agree with your boss. That's probably not what you want to hear, but that's my decision. I'll let your boss know what I've decided. You're welcome to talk further with her about this, but the decision has been made for now. Don't go back for another bite at the apple."
Note that usually you make this decision and communicate it during your initial open door session. Don't tell your skip that you'll talk to their boss and get back to them. There are times for that, and they're rare.
Right.
And a skip who is using an open door policy illicitly will often think of you talking to their boss as a win.
Yeah. Ooh, like, oh, perfect. You're going to talk to them. It's exactly what I wanted to get them in trouble.
You need to avoid that appearance. And the best way to do that is to support your manager. Don't tell your skip, "Hey, I'm going to go talk to them." Don't do that. And then, of course, you do have to go talk to your direct, the skip's manager, and tell them what happened. There may be feedback there.
Yeah.
For the manager.
Absolutely.
Right.
For the manager themselves, right? Positive for allowing the open door moment to happen.
For
right?
sure.
Communicating that down, letting everybody in the organization know your openness and their openness to it. Maybe positive for how they handled the situation.
Their response to you telling them, or what, how they dealt with the skip, whether
exactly
they did well.
Right, if we're in agreement with how they handled it. And perhaps even negative feedback if they got it wrong. Even though you supported the decision to that skip, there's nothing wrong with supporting one of your managers, even when you might have handled it a little bit differently. I mean, there's something about what they did that's, I would have changed a couple of things about that. Not how I would have done it. But folks, your standard should not be that they do exactly what you've done or what you would do. There are lots of paths to enlightenment. Yours isn't the only one.
Right. Lots of managers do it differently than you, and they do just
absolutely
fine.
Just fine.
And there may be an opportunity here for negative feedback. It might be something that you need to do.
Absolutely.
Y'all, one of the best ways to build trust as a director with your managers is to have an open door policy, implement it wisely, and support your managers even when you might have done something differently or made a different decision. Otherwise, You'll get stuck making all of your manager's decisions for them, and that's the absolute way to chaos.
Absolutely. I've said it before. If you're going to do the job of the people that work for you, you might as well collect their salary and send them home. Because you're doing all the work. Why are you doing all the work? The job of the director in this case, which is who we're talking to right now, is to equip your managers with the skills that they need to manage their teams, not to manage those teams for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with a new topic.